Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me on this Saturday morning, as always, my good friend, Harris Wishard.
What's up, Nick? Glad to be back after Wednesday and really excited. Just a lot going on in the league right now. And, you know, some young guys playing extremely well and some new stars on the rise. So really excited to get into it with you tonight and recap and go forward.
Yeah, no, it's always fun to watch the beginning of the season. You get to see those guys that worked on their game, trying to take the next step. One guy that comes to my mind right off the bat, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
But before we talk about Wiggins, talk about last night. Any of the games stick out to you? What games you watch? What'd you take away?
I saw a little bit of the late games. My cousin, shout out to my cousin Steven, who had a child last night. And so I was at the hospital, so I didn't get to see as much as I wanted to see. My fantasy team did do well. And I saw some of the late games. But what stuck out to me is the Hornets getting a really good home win against the Atlanta Hawks, coming back from 10 down in the fourth quarter. And I just think this team right now is ready. They're ready as they continue to prove that they're ready to be a top four team in the Eastern Conference. And I'm sure they'll hit their bumps in the road. And I'm sure at some point in the season you'll say, maybe they're that team last year that could maybe win a couple of playoff games and then eventually get knocked out. But what are they – for you personally now, impressive win against Atlanta. Again, I didn't see it. It just stuck out to me that they were able to overcome that deficit against a good Hawks team that is still better than them record-wise. What stuck out to you for the Charlotte Hornets? What's going to make them a top-four team as opposed to just this 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed in Eastern?
Well, they're playing like a top-four team right now. Obviously, Kemba keeps playing like an all-star. Nicholas Batum has been great. MKG has been giving them a different element. I think if this team really wants to make some noise, though, I think they need to make a move at the deadline, pick up a big man, you know, somebody who's going to have a presence inside. You know, they rotate a lot of different guys down there. But I think if they got, you know, one center that really can make a difference, it could really help this team to the next level.
Cody Zeller was excellent last night. Now that I'm looking at the box score, if he's going to shoot 9 of 10, I mean, that's not going to happen every night. Yeah. But Kaminsky's giving them decent minutes. They had three guys go over 20 last night. If you could get a three-headed balanced attack like that, Batum to me is such an underrated piece.
Very versatile,
and he's always been on winning teams, Nick. He's been in Portland, and he was a winning player in Portland, and he's a winning player. And what do I mean by winning player? You might ask me that, but I think when you look at him, he's just a guy that wants to do it all. He really takes pride in every aspect of his game. He can step behind the line. He can shoot the three. He was 4 of 8 last night. He had 10 rebounds, 9 on the defensive end, 4 assists, 2 steals. So a real versatile guy, great fantasy piece. And for him and Walker to be the two-headed monster they are, if they get anything from any of their bigs, and like you said, they're going to have to make a move at some point if they want to challenge the Cavs. But I don't see any reason why they couldn't be at some point or another the second-best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real possibility for them. And I love Batum as well. I think one thing he's really underrated is a playmaker. Last year on the podcast, Parth brought up some advanced stats about him, and it just showed how good he is at setting up his teammates. So I think that also could have an impact on Kemba's success. You know, him not having to set himself up all the time. Yeah, Batum able to set up the offense a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot to like if you're a Charlotte Hornet fan. And something I've mentioned, and shout out to MJ, shout out to that whole organization, something that I've continuously mentioned on this show is that this is a team that has gone from the laughing stock of the sport for a while to the point where it affected MJ and Barkley's relationship a little bit. Now, I think they're on better terms because they made like a $1 million bet on the final last year when Barkley went nuts when Villanova hit that shot. But Barkley was very critical of MJ and the way he was running the Hornets. And for Michael, I mean, we know what he did on the court. I think we have to give him some credit too in the way this team's coming together.
Nah, MJ kind of gives this organization another element. You know, you're playing for the greatest player of all time. Yeah, just shout out real quick to the OTG website. We did a roundtable. He was number one, everybody's top five of all time. So, you know, playing for him, I think Frank Kaminsky said it. He was so pumped. Like, it's such an exciting feeling. And if they have success, I feel like it could really help attract free agents.
Well, to pick a brain of a winner. And a lot True. Of people have spoken to the aspect of Phil Jackson being around the Knicks. It hasn't paid dividends yet. But to be around the probably the best winner this sport has seen since Bill Russell in the 60s and 70s, a lot of guys give Bill Russell credit for their careers and things that he's done and mentoring them and whatnot. So to have a winner like that around could only mean good things for the Hornets as they seem to put a decent roster together for their fans.
Yeah, for sure. Now let's talk about, I mean, two things that stuck at me last night on the opposite spectrum. Disappointing. Pacers lose to the Suns. Obviously, Paul George didn't play. But the Blazers lost to the Pelicans, and I think that's three straight losses for the Blazers.
Yeah, the Blazers seem to be hitting a little bit of a slow period here, a little bit of a wall. I think they rely so heavily on the play of McCollum and Lillard that if these guys don't shoot well, and they didn't last night, 7 of 18 for McCollum, 8 of 24 for Lillard, if these guys don't shoot really well, they're in trouble.
Yeah, they have a lot of pressure on these guys. And they kind of overachieved last season. This year, they're not going to really surprise as many people. They did have a solid move in the offseason, you know, re-signing their guys, picking up Evan Turner. But I could see them having some tough stretches this year.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, there are other when we spoke about on the podcast, the preseason podcast, we knew other guys were going to have to step up other than these two guys. You could win a lot of games with two really good players in the NBA. But I think if you want to go to the next level and the Blazers – if there's any franchise in the NBA that wants to go to the next level desperately, it's the Blazers. You feel like they've been the same team for so long. Even with Aldridge, they couldn't get over the hump. What does it take for a team like the Blazers to get over the hump, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, Aminu's been out, and he's kind of that guy that brings that extra energy and edge to this team. So that's definitely hurt them. But, I mean, this is another team that really doesn't have a strong presence down low. Mason Plumlee's pretty good, but, you know, there's nobody you're like, you're playing the Blazers, you're like, oh, we gotta highlight that guy, double team every time in the post. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They had Aldridge, but when they had Aldridge, McCollum wasn't the guy or wasn't like, it wasn't even who he was. You think if they have a guy that they could use in the post, that could score it in the post, you know what? They kind of remind me of the Hornets of the West a little bit.
Yeah, they're kind of similar if you think about it. I mean, Dame Lillard, Kemba Walker, maybe McCollum's a little different than Batum, but Similar enough to sense that it's like, you know, mostly on those guy. MKG is more like Aminu, but they both lack that big guy that's really threatening you.
Well, a lot of teams have that, but the good teams have a guy that at times you could throw it to. Like if you look at the best teams in the league, like the Warriors.
Draymond.
Well, they have Draymond, right, but they have a vocal point. They don't need a guy necessarily that could score it. Like the best teams in the league, like to me, the Cavs obviously have LeBron. It's different. But you look around the best teams in the NBA right now, and the Spurs obviously have like a Gasol or, you know, the Aldridge, but you just need somebody to orchestrate it and just to be a threat. You need a forward / center because we know the NBA has turned into a stretch.
Small ball. Yeah.
You need a guy that, like, the Cavs have Love. You need a bigger guy that could be a threat, like Towns or Anthony Davis or Cousins are exceptionally good players, but they're not on good basketball teams. So good basketball teams don't need a guy that you could throw it to anymore to get 25 down low like the Ewings and the Olajuwons and the Shaqs of old. I think you just need a guy that could touch it and, like, you have to guard him.
Yeah, he can touch it and, you know, you have to guard him. He can shoot a little bit and he can finish on the pick and roll. The pick and roll is so important in the NBA nowadays, especially when you have dynamic guards like McCollum and Lillard. Plumlee's been pretty good at that, but imagine having a guy that can finish and, you know, hit the mid-range jumper.
No, absolutely. And it, like I said, anybody that could stretch the floor and then, again, go to the rim. The guys that could go to the rim now, and Towns had a dunk the other night, Nick, that I have to talk about on this show.
Over
I don't
Embiid,
know if
right?
I've ever seen somebody dunk that hard with one hand and somehow manage to get the other hand on the basket to hang on the rim. And It's just like an amazing display of athleticism. He's shown me some things this year. I watched him against the Nets. And I know the Timberwolves aren't great right now. And they did not play last night, if I'm correct.
They did not.
So they play tonight, and we'll take a look at that game a little bit later. They're 4-7. I could see them inching towards 500 if they could figure each other out.
Yeah, I think they're only going to get better. Mm. You know, I mentioned before Andrew Wiggins is having a big year. He's shooting like 52% from threes, averaging 27 a game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's been a great FanDuel DraftKings play. What do you like about Wiggins so far this season?
I think the thing that strikes me most about Andrew Wiggins is his three-point ball has improved dramatically, and that makes him very dangerous. Obviously, we know about his athleticism, but his ability off the bounce has always been special. He's an athletic freak of nature, as is Towns, but his three ball and his ability now to stretch defenses out a little bit has made him an absolute nightmare for the opposition, and he's put together some really impressive scoring nights. And if they take on a defensive identity, like with Thibodeau is a perfect guy, to do that. I mean, Wiggins, I'm not going to say MVP in a couple years, but I'm definitely going to say perennial All-Star.
Yeah, no, he's looked really good. It looks like he's finally starting to understand the game a little bit better too, you know, working the system. And, you know, when you can hit the three ball like he's hitting it so far this season, you have to respect that, and that pump fake becomes lethal. Also, I've liked what I saw from Wiggins in the post. He has a nice little spin move too, which is something to keep an eye on. That's something to go to when you need someone to close the game out.
Yeah, definitely.
See, I want to talk about OKC a little bit. I watched the Nets game. The Nets lost. Jeremy Lin's still out. It was a pretty close game, but I think OKC is probably going to be a touch worse than we thought this year because there's just not enough scoring in that team other than Westbrook unless they make a move. And I think the team knows that because they've been rumored to be trying to get Rudy Gay. So what do you think about OKC so far this season?
Well, they're so – the Adams and the Cantor combination is fine, but like we said, neither of those guys can create. Oladipo has been very good. I think I liked what I see. I think he complements Westbrook well. I think this team could be what we expected. I didn't expect a championship caliber roster.
And yeah, I mean, the bench, though. The bench really has, other than Cantor coming off the bench, like, the scoring is very – could be a serious issue.
Yeah, like, there's nowhere to go. I mean, you turn and some of these game names are unfamiliar. Could be some D-League call-ups or not even sure if the Thunder have an affiliate. But some of these names are unfamiliar, yeah. And they do rely so heavily on Westbrook. And I think he will carry them to 40-plus wins and probably a playoff berth. But – I think when Durant departed, we could expect them to play well, but how well could we have expected them to play? I would have to look back at what we predicted, but I didn't see this team. I thought the Clippers were better. Maybe I'm going back on my word, but we knew the Warriors and Spurs were better. We definitely now know the Clippers are better, even though the Thunder had an opportunity to beat the Clippers at home this season if Westbrook made a better decision down the stretch. But this team goes as far as Westbrook can take them, and a one-man wrecking crew, I think if he lets Oladipo do a little more, and last night he did, the Thunder can be all right. But, yeah, I think you hit it on the head. They're not a championship-caliber team by any stretch, and they might not even be a top-four team in the West at times.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm getting at. I don't think they're – I think they might not be a top-four team in the West unless they pick up some more scoring, just because it was – like, Westbrook came out of the game, and it just seemed so easy to stop them. Obviously, they still won the game, but definitely saw a lot of issues from that team I didn't see before that.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to touch on is Golden State. I want to speak about how, you know, Kevin Durant now, and I think if once we knew, and I said 68-14 for them, and once Durant and Curry figured this out, you saw the growing pains on opening night. You even saw them drop one to the Lakers. Shout out to the Lakers, played the Spurs tough, and they're definitely an improved, maybe playoff caliber team. You could go as far as saying that over the first 13 games of the season, but the Warriors, once they hit their stride, are going to be unstoppable. I think it's just a matter of how much they want to push it. We saw Curry get a little banged up in the playoffs last year. We saw them go for 73 wins. So I don't think they have any interest in that record again or how many wins they're going to accumulate. But I think they're going to dominate in a way we haven't really seen much of in the NBA in a long time.
Yeah, you can see it. They're starting to get in that groove. Durant's looking good. He's starting to play a little bit more all around. I think I mentioned this on the last pod. I like what I see from on defense too. He's finally using that length to his advantage. And you said it right on the head. You know, we've never seen a team like this before. This team is going to win games in a ridiculous fashion. Tonight they might rest some guys against the Bucks and they could still easily blow them out. So it's a very good basketball team. Enough about last night. I just want to touch on one more thing. Shout out to the Mavericks for having 44 points going into the fourth quarter.
No, shout out what you mean to say.
Shout out to Mohammed's
Grizzlies for their defensive error because they've picked it up a little bit and have been a little bit better than what we saw over the first couple weeks of the season. They're 7-5 now, and they'll probably slide into some playoff positioning as we move towards December and January. But shout out to them defensively. I know Dallas has been struggling. They're 2-9. And where's that guy at now that was giving you a lot of heat about what you were talking about the Mavericks at? Is that guy anywhere to be found right now?
Yeah, I don't think he's anywhere to be found. He told me the Mavs are going to be a top four team in the West.
Oh, boy.
And right now it's looking like they're going to be a bottom four team in the West.
Yes.
To give him some credit, though, they have had a lot of injuries. Dirk's been
Barnes
hurt.
Has been pretty good, too.
Yeah, Barnes has been good. J.J. Barea is out 6 weeks now. Darren Williams is still out. And on the Grizzlies side, Parsons came back – not this missed the game against the Mavs, the game before that. So he should give them a nice boost and kind of get them to where we thought they'd be at this season.
Yeah, definitely.
But enough about last night. I want to ask you just some questions about the NBA. So this guy, DeMar DeRozan, he's been going off.
Yes.
Is he the best shooting guard in the NBA? You know, we consider Harden a point guard now maybe because he's running the point 99% of the time. Is DeMar DeRozan the best shooting guard in the NBA?
If James Harden's a point guard and Klay Thompson's the third best player on his team, where else am I turning here?
Jimmy Butler, maybe?
You know what?
Butler's been pretty good lately. Argument.
Butler's a strong argument, but because I love the two-way players. I love the players that create for their teammates. I love the guys filling up the stat sheet. What I'm watching DeRozan do is individual offensive talent. So if you're drafting a team tomorrow, I'll ask you this question. Is it DeRozan or is it Butler? And then I'll give you my answer. But you know where I lean towards. You know what type of player I like. But DeRozan, what he's doing is great offensively. But is he a better basketball player than Jimmy Butler?
Nah, see, this is – I was going to go with Butler the whole time.
Right.
Just because I like what Butler does defensively, I like his energy, that extra edge. DeRozan's great, but, I mean, he's obviously not going to keep this up. And you said it right. You know, he runs a lot of ISO.
Right.
I feel like Butler could probably get his a little bit more through a team. You know, he does have his fair share of ISOs as well in Chicago. But he also is playing with two ball-heavy guards, and he still seems to put up points. And there's no issues. I mean, DeRozan plays with Lowry, but other than those two, they're pretty much getting most of the scoring punch in Toronto. So, I mean, I think Butler is a better fit for a winning team, but DeRozan is probably the best shooting guard so far this season.
Well, yeah, you got to look at what you're – I think specifically who's the better talent, basketball talent, you probably could make a very strong case for DeRozan because I think when he is engaged, he's not an Olay defender. He's not on first-team Olay, which you give Harden and Melo. Those guys are on first-team Olay. DeRozan's not on that. And so he has some ability on the defensive end. We're not making him out to be a bad defender. But Jimmy Butler might be the best defensive shooting guard in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Butler really frustrate the shit out of people, including LeBron James. And that's not something easy to do. We can't really say the same about DeRozan. And I just kind of like the leadership that Butler has. Obviously, there was issues with Rose and Noah because he wanted to take on the leadership role. DeRozan's, I think he's a leader in Toronto, but he also has Lowry as the main leader there. So, I don't know. I just like Butler. I like his all-around game a little bit more than I like DeRozan scoring.
Well, Butler is still at over 20, is he not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, Butler's at 24, and he's on a hot stretch right now, if I'm not mistaken.
24?
Yeah, 24 a game, six four assists four. A game, six rebounds a game.
Melo?
Yeah, so I was just looking at his stat line, and the Carmelo Anthony commercial is coming up.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's nice to see the shooting guard play pick up in this league. And you talked about the Lakers. So, you said it. You know, you think the Lakers could compete for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that's right on the brink of making that. I love their young talent. Their young talent is definitely something to be excited about if you're in La La Land right now. And, you know, with the combination of Clarkson, who you know is one of my favorite players in the league, big Jordan Clarkson fan, and D'Angelo Russell has been surprisingly much better than I thought he'd be this season. Julius Randle is a good piece. So we continue to speak about the young guys, and then you mix in some of the veterans. I don't think they could – and Luke Walton is – give Luke Walton credit. I think we understand now that he's a very solid head coach.
Yeah, no, he's a very good head coach. He's kind of got the mentality and culture changed on this team.
Yes.
And I like the way Randall's playing. I mentioned this. He's kind of like a super light Draymond Green just because he adds the effect of, you know, he has that toughness. He can handle the ball. He can shoot a touch. He can drive to the rim. But also they have – their bench is really killing it. You know, they have Lou Williams, your guy Jordan Clarkson, Ingram, Tariq Black, Larry Nance Jr. So there's plenty of talent on there, and they're doing work. And these young guys are going to continue to get better. So I think the Lakers probably could compete for the 8th seed. And – do they not make the playoffs? I don't think it's that big a deal because I've already seen a lot of development with this team. Yeah. And going forward in the future, it's going to be fun. The Lakers are going to be good again.
Yeah, and like I said, they have some nice – you mentioned they have the cornerstone pieces. I think Randall is a – I want to say – I don't know if they have a franchise player, but they
– I think one of the three of, you know, Russell, Randall, or Ingram is going to be the franchise player. I can't
– Ingram has the best opportunity because he seems to be making an impact – right away. And I think he should – I think he'll end up – you'll look back 10 years from now, and I think either – I don't know if Chris Dunn – what exactly he's done this year, what he's done. I don't know what Dunn –
he's been pretty solid.
Yeah, but he's been all right. But I think Ingram, when you look back 10 years from now, will be the best player in this class.
He easily could. He has the most potential. He has that KD similarity.
Right.
So, I mean, I also like Russell a lot. He's kind of had a slow start to the season. He's picked it up, I think, the last two games. But he has a lot of potential, too. As a
natural ability. A lot of natural ability, D'Angelo Russell.
He's got that quick three-point shot against the Nets a few nights ago. He hit four threes in the first quarter, and it was just like snap of a finger.
Yeah, he does. He has my college coach used to call it spurt ability, he used to say. He said, you know, Russell, one of those guys that could take a team on a nice quick spurt.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing you need, and they have a lot of guys. So happy for them. You know, they had a few tough years, but now it looks like they're ready back for success. So let's talk a little tonight, give our picks, mention some fantasy guys we like. First game, Utah Jazz, Houston Rockets. James Harden has been going off.
Right. Hood Hood kind of let me down the other night.
Yeah, this is like a weird game for fantasy because they're like complete opposites.
Right.
Jazz play a little bit slow. They play a slower pace. They play a lot of defense. The Rockets play a super fast pace and play close to no defense. So I really don't know what to expect out of this one. Since it's home, I think the Rockets are going to control the pace more.
Yeah,
but the Jazz will still play some good defense. So
yeah, I mean,
I might think a few Jazz guys, but not really a lot of Rocket guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, now that there are nine games, I think there are better games than this. I don't know if I maybe steal like a Capella at a low value. I'm going to take the Rockets to win this game. I know, just to tell our fans out there how sensational you've been. I don't know if I've had a little bit more fantasy success. I have gotten lucky in some cases, but we both had some fantasy success. But it's been clear who has gotten the best of our picks. Nick coming into today on our podcast is 46-18, and I'm trailing him. I'm at 39-25, seven games back, trying to make up some ground on you.
Yeah, this is a game. This is a night that you probably could make up some ground because there's a lot of intriguing matchups. I'm going to go with you with the Rockets, so I'm going to pick the Rockets as well, just because I love what James Harden is doing, and I think Derek Favors is still out. One guy actually I thought about I might like in fantasy is Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, I don't. This is a tough fantasy game for me. I don't like it, and I just think it could be weird.
Yeah, you have really no clue.
You don't know. I think you have a little bit better idea in our next game, Charlotte at New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a better idea as you know Charlotte's going to win this game, but yeah. Anthony Davis could start.
Well, Davis is going to play.
Yeah, Davis played last night, so I would think he'd play tonight. Jrue Holiday came back yesterday. I would think he'd probably not play a lot of minutes, being that it's a back to back.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, the Hornets have been solid. And like we mentioned, they've been kind of just flying under the radar as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
I want to take the Pelicans. I won't do it. You know what? No, give me the Pelicans. This is one of those weird games. I know we spoke so highly about the Hornets, but on a back-to-back, they beat the Blazers last night. They might be creating some momentum. If Davis plays, I mean, there's always a chance he could sit because he's injury prone. He's off a back-to-back, but I know you're going to go Charlotte. I think the Pelicans have a great night at home. I'm looking towards some Pelican guys on fantasy. Just I know the Charlotte's a good defensive team, but I think the Pelicans come out tonight with a lot of energy at home and could steal one from the Hornets. I don't think the Hornets are a team yet that are established lock win. Like if Cleveland's at New Orleans, I'm giving Cleveland the lock. If the Golden State Warriors are at New Orleans, I'm giving them the lock. I can't give Charlotte that kind of treatment yet.
Not yet, but I mean, I feel pretty good about it. Like you mentioned, Davis could see limited minutes or he could get one of those weird injuries and miss the rest of the game.
Right. All right, so we disagree there. Let's move on to Miami and Washington.
This is a weird game. Both these teams struggling, 3-8. They both had some okay stretches, and they also had some terrible stretches. I really don't know who to pick. I guess I'm going to hope the Wizards kind of carry that momentum of blowing out the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they are at home, and the Heat kind of have – they're kind of all over the place, so give me the Wizards at home.
Yeah, I agree. I there's a lot to dislike about both of these teams right now. The inconsistent play of the backcourt in Washington, like Wall has had good games. He has had some good games, but again, some puzzling moments for the front court also. So dysfunction, Gortat came out and spoke about how our bench has been terrible. Like that's not what you want to say at the start.
Yeah, he said they have the worst bench in the league. Like that is mean. He apologized to every teammate, but like still, bro, like come on.
Yeah, you know what? He was speaking out of emotion and he's frustrated. And I think he wanted to challenge guys, but not in that way. If you want to say I gotta be better, everybody's gotta be better, I've stunk, we've all stunk. That's another thing. That's one thing to say. But to come out and deliberately say, hey, our bench has been terrible, we're horrible, It's just a horrible thing to say for a team that's struggling. John Wall is the leader of this team, but he's not tremendously vocal. John Wall is like a laid back, like sit on the couch. I could just see him like chilling all weekend if they don't have games. Like, and he said that he like, I like to chill a lot. Like, John Wall is not one of those guys that wants to really get in anybody's face. I don't think, at least that's what I see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think unless it's really a necessary moment. Gortat's more of the vocal guy, so he has to be careful with what he says. You know, like obviously, you know, it's an emotional start. You're off to a terrible start. But you, like you said, you can call out guys, but you got to call them out in the right way. You know, you could be like, well, I expect, you know, Oubre to make a bigger jump this year or something like that. But to say they're the worst bench in the league is just –
it's too much.
Yeah. Another two teams that have been pretty bad this season. I mean, the Magic are starting to pick it up, but the Mavs 2-9, Magic 5-7. Who do you like in this one?
Give me Orlando at home. This is a weird fantasy game. I'm trying to look at some of the other games and like look at.
They're all weird. Like,
yeah, I don't. The Clippers and Bulls will provide some tremendous spark, but you don't look at one of those games and say, this game screams like offense to me. Like, I don't. I don't know if I – like, it's going to be a tough night. I mean, Phoenix and Philly, you never know because it could be a blowout. But give me Orlando.
I think that could be a good one is Phoenix and Philly because they both let up a lot of points. So, but you don't really know who's going to get the scoring.
Yeah.
But in this game, I'm going to go with that.
If you win tonight in fantasy, you know what you're doing. It's not – there's – I don't know. I got to look specific guys, but it's just tough. Like, we talked about Redick last night, but who is your pick in this game?
In this game, I'm going to go with the Magic. After the Mavs had 44 to start the fourth last night, they're pretty banged up at point guard. Give me the Magic. They look like they're picking up a little bit too.
Yeah, agreed. Let's move on. Boston-Detroit. This is a team matchup of teams that one team had a little higher expectation of the quality of play. I think the Celtics have been a little bit disappointing. The Pistons right around 500. We expect them to be a couple games over. Only 12, 13 games in. Where's your head at tonight, Boston at Detroit?
Boston, I'll give him a little slack because Al Horford's been out. So is Jay Crowder. And Crowder gives him that extra energy and effort. The Pistons, you know, they kind of have an excuse as well. Reggie Jackson's been out. So when he comes back, they'll be a better team. But this is another hard one to predict because, like, you know, the Pistons, they really want to get this win at home. They don't want to go two games under 500. And the Celtics need to start picking up the pace and getting more wins. This is very tough. Give me the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with Boston too. And some interesting the fantasy pieces. Avery Bradley's been really good early.
He's been one of my favorite players in fantasy in general. At the price he's at, he's been steadily around 30 points almost every game.
Yeah, last night helped me a lot. In addition to a guy I'm going to talk about in a little while, JJ Redick, who only not many people want to pick JJ Redick, but he's been really good lately. 6 threes last night and 7 the night before. So, but shout out to Avery Bradley, who's been really good.
Do you like Drummond in this game?
No.
You think that the Celtics are going to give him a lot of double teams, make it hard to get him?
I don't. Drummond is such a tough one because he's not good enough offensively where he's as reliable as you want him to be. That's my biggest problem with him. My biggest problem with him is he could have one of those rough nights. I didn't look at any of these five games. I mean, Gordon Hayward, I forgot to mention, has been very good at the price that they're listing him at. And obviously Kemba in a game against the Pelicans could go off at any moment. We forgot to mention some specific guys. But, no, I don't like Drummond tonight. In this next game, though, I think you should pay attention. I think this is the fantasy game of the night.
I think that would be the Suns and the Sixers?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams, I'm almost 100% sure, give up 100 points plus a good night. I think the Suns give over 110 a night. So there should be plenty of scoring opportunities in this game.
There's value in this game.
There's some value with some young guys. I mean, Brandon Knight's been pretty good value for him. I think he's around 4K, or he was like 4.3K or something like that. But he's been having solid nights off the bench. He could be a guy to keep an eye on. Who do you like specifically out of this game?
Some of those guards in Philly have been all right. I got burned by taking Sergio Rodriguez the other night in a team that otherwise would have done very well. But I think some of those young guards, and Joel Embiid has been really good. And he's not a high – he's low value too. Embiid is someone to pay attention to. Is probably the runaway rookie of the year right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's the runaway rookie of the year. Me and Matthew talked about it on the last pod is he gives this team hope, the Sixers fans. You know, like he has that personality too. So it kind of makes them just so much more exciting, and he kind of gives them a chance. I think this will be a close one in Philly, and give me the Sixers with a W.
Oh, well, we disagree again. I'm going to take the Suns. And, you know, I like Warren and Booker, and I think Booker's probably a real good play. He'll be a popular play tonight. But what about Minnesota and Memphis? Minnesota's starting to pick up some steam, as you like to say, cook. Minnesota's starting to cook a little bit. Wiggins, Towns, finding chemistry. Is it enough to get an impressive road win in Memphis tonight?
Wow, that's very tough. It's tough to win in Memphis.
Yeah.
And they've been really locking it up. But I feel like the Timberwolves are just so much more athletic than them that they're going to get the W.
You know what? I'm going to take Memphis. I'm going to make Muhammad happy. But I've taken a liking to this Minnesota team. And they're easy to like. They're really easy to root for. LaVine, athletic. Rubio has played a little bit better of late. Wiggins and Towns, we know about them. I think they have a nice group now where Thibodeau is going to play them all a lot of minutes. So we know they're going to be out there. They're good fantasy guys, but might want to stay away from some of them against Memphis. If you had a Timmy Towns or Wiggins who's going to have the bigger night tonight, I would say Towns just because he'll bang with the big guys. Wiggins is not as strong as Towns, so Wiggins will probably be out on the perimeter a little bit more trying to pop his threes. But Memphis is going to slow this thing down and frustrate these young guys. But Towns could bang in there. I like Towns a lot tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Towns is going to have to play the bang around with Gasol and Zebo and Green. So I expect him to have a big game, but I mean, I'm not locking anybody in this game for a big fantasy night just because this is kind of similar to the Rockets and Jazz right. game. It's like one team plays, you know, the Timberwolves have scored a lot of points this year and the Grizz are trying to slow it down. Obviously, after last night, it was like 60-something to 44 going into the fourth. And fantasy-wise, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, and so you're going with Minnesota. I'm going with Memphis. This game, this Golden State-Milwaukee game, remember, there was some beef last year with Golden State and Milwaukee. Milwaukee was the first team to beat them when they were 24-0 and then dropped one, and then O.J. Mayo, who's not in the league right now anymore, was going back and forth with Draymond Green. So there's some history here. I would stay away from the Warrior guys just because you don't know who's going to go off. But Milwaukee, in order to keep up with Golden State, your best players have to play well. And they've had some guys, Nick, Milwaukee, that have been good fantasy guys this year.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis the Greek Freak has been going off some games. You know, he has a ton of touches. But I actually might grab a few Warriors guys if Steve Kerr sits some of the big guns.
Right.
Because then you know the other guy's going to have to step up. Like, say, you know, he sits Curry, you know, Durant's going to play big, or he sits Durant, you know, Curry's
going to. What about Jabari Parker?
This is a tough one. I mean, Draymond could D him up for sure, but you don't know. I think there's going to be the way the Warriors play with a lot of rotation, a lot of movement on defense. I could see Jabari finding some holes, but I'd be more skeptical to take a Bucks player just because I know the Warriors are so much better team. Like, I think we mentioned this early in the preview pod, is that the Warriors could be like a team that you just have to stay away from in fantasy because the blowout is possible in the first or second quarter.
Yeah. And I'm going to take Golden State. I don't see them losing.
The Warriors for sure in this one.
Yeah. And so 3, 6, 8, we have 3 picks out of the 8 games. Let's go to the last one of the night, which I think is going to be the most entertaining game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Bulls have been very good. They're 8-4, but this has been maybe the best team in the NBA so far. They're not better than Golden State. Just on how well they've played with given their guys and their ability and their talent level, the Los Angeles Clippers at home. The marquee matchup of the night, NBA TV's covering it. Bulls, Clippers, who you got?
This is a tough one. I think the Clippers probably are playing like the best team in the NBA right now. Just their margin of victory is huge. They're blowing teams out left and right. But the Bulls have been kind of surprising everyone better than everyone thought. But the Clippers are at home. The Bulls have solid big men, but, I mean, I think DeAndre and Blake will be the difference in this one. Give me the Clippers.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to go against the Clippers at home. I think they're one of those teams right now that's on that run where I think they want to go for the highest seed possible. They know how important home court is to them. They actually beat the Warriors, and we've spoken about this series. And probably the best accomplishment of the Clippers the last few years has been beating Golden State after Golden State made the second round in 2014 when they had home court advantage. And I think when the Clippers have home court, outside of that one Rocket series in 15 when they blew that game at home, the Clippers are tough to beat at home. They got the L.A. crowd. They've won over that city, and the Stars come out to see them. So Lob City is fully engaged. I like them tonight by double digits. I think this game will be close down the stretch, but I think they'll be able to pull away late.
Fantasy-wise, who do you like in this one?
Butler is going to play well, and he's going to have to play well. But Jimmy's been the guy you have to rely on. But Rondo's going to play well. Rondo, in marquee games is really good. And I've said this for a while. Bill Simmons speaks about this a lot. Marquee national TV Rondo, like he's going to go against Chris Paul. Like he's going to have these guys going up and down. He likes that pace. I would stay away from Wade. I think on the Bulls, their best player tonight is going to be Rondo fantasy-wise. And then on the Clippers side, I talked to you about how J.J. Redick has been really good for me lately and won me a couple bucks last night because he came out in the first quarter. He's one of those guys, and I spoke to you, I texted you this yesterday about Love being the Cavs guy they look to go. When you have a shooter like that, and he is the best shooter on their team and one of the best shooters in the league, getting him going early is important for them. So keep an eye on Redick, keep an eye on Rondo, and maybe some other like role guys on the Clippers. But Chris Paul and Griffin have been a little hit or miss because their team has been really good, so they focus more on the team play.
Yeah. What about somebody like Robin Lopez? You think he has a decent game because they obviously need the rebounds in Chicago when you face Blake and DeAndre?
Yeah, I don't know what his numbers have been. You could probably tell me better than that, but you really –
I mean, he's had some pretty good fantasy games. I think he's around like 4 or 5K, so he's – you know, if you have the right matchup with him, he's a plausible play.
This is like a 112-104 game to me, 112-102. One of the Clippers are going to be in their 110s. The Bulls are going to be in there over 100. So this is the second best fantasy game of the night to me. I know I said Phoenix and Philly, but there are some going to – those are probably the two games I'll pay most attention to. Phoenix, Philly, Clippers, Bulls, because I can pretty much guarantee – I mean, Minnesota, Memphis, like we said, but I can pretty much guarantee in those two basketball games that they'll probably both go down the stretch and be higher scoring. The other games that you have some teams that want to slow down the pace – and like the Utahs, like the Memphises, like the Milwaukee – I mean, Milwaukee plays up and down. But for the most part, you could guarantee in these two games that it will be up and down, young guys, high flying. So those are the two games I pay attention to. And I think Robin Lopez, to answer your original question, is an interesting play, but he's one of those guys that can be severely hit or miss too.
To give you some idea about his numbers, he's – and DraftKings, he's 4,800. Last four games, 28 fantasy points, 32, 31, and 30. So, I mean, he can give you some solid value. I mean, there's obviously a risk. Like you said, he's limited offensively, but he does rack up the boards.
He does. So the three games that I'll be looking forward to tonight most are the three games that we disagreed on because you know I'm about making up ground. And so Pelicans, Phoenix Suns, and Memphis Grizzlies could win tonight. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, those games are all toss-ups too. Like,
I'm going to start calling you Face-tradamus. Face-tradamus at 46-18. Unbelievable. Everybody should be tuning in just to listen to what Face-tradamus has to say.
Yeah, I hope I can keep it up. Long season ahead. Just got to keep putting in work.
Absolutely. Always enjoy coming on with you, man.
Yeah, you too, Harris. That wraps it up for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Great show, and we'll see you next week.
See you Wednesday.